Greetings, Hoopsheads. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Tuesday, May 8th. I'm your host, Aliko Carter. Apologies for missing yesterday. Day job shit got in the way, as it does every so often. I appreciate you tuning in today. Great game on Sunday against the Pelicans, 118-92 victory for the Golden State Warriors, and they look to close it out tonight. What we're going to do today is do a quick recap of the game on Sunday, including my observations from that game, and then spend the second segment talking about what we can expect from tonight. Third segment will go around the NBA, obviously. Three other series going on. Well, two other series going on now. LeBron took care of the one seed 59 win Toronto Raptors. And there's a lot to unpack there for the Raps, you know, I mean, and a lot to unpack for LeBron. What does this mean for his legacy as he inches toward becoming the greatest player of all time? A lot of people in my generation, you know, people born between, you know, people who missed most of Michael Jordan's tenure, people who are nearing 30 or a little bit past 30, they're talking about LeBron as the best player ever, you know, and he certainly is in my top three along with Michael and Bill Russell. But the series he had, I mean, you can argue in his 15th season that he's better than he has ever been. He spends seven figures on equipment to keep his body in order at his house and does the work. But I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. You can find this podcast on iTunes, iOS, Google Play, and Spotify, as well as LockedOnWarriors.com and LockedOnSports.com. Make sure you bookmark those pages. You can get in contact with me at Koji Tare on Twitter, K-O-G-I-T-A-R-E, or at LockedOnDubs. Also find me at LockedOnDubs on Facebook. You can also find my written work at Forbes.com. All right, let's do this. And first and foremost, you got to talk about Kevin Durant. 38 points in 36 minutes on 15 of 27 shooting. Only took 5 three-pointers, which I love, making 2 of them. 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 turn. It was a nearly perfect game from Kevin Durant. And most of his baskets came in the one-on-one. Or he dribbled around a screen to get a good shot. There wasn't a ton of Kevin Durant playing off the ball and doing his scoring off the ball. As a matter of fact, even though the Warriors did have 28 assists on the night, some of their biggest baskets were one-on-one or, you know, a player making a good move to the basket or a good move to get a good shot. And I like that. I know that it's, you know, points per possession, you know, in the one-on-one is lower. But this is the playoffs. And you have to take what the defense gives you. And if the defense is giving you good one-on-one shots, then take them. And Kevin Durant took them. You know, but also Quinn Cook had a few nice moves to the basket. I really liked what I saw from Klay Thompson, even though he was only 5 of 13. The 5 shots that he did make were absolutely difficult. Hands in his face, some really good movement around the rim, and nice English. Andre played 29 minutes, and, you know, people talk about playoff Rondo, and playoff Rondo is a thing, unfortunately. 21 assists in multiple games and all that jazz, but playoff Iguodala is a real thing as well. Playoff Iguodala doesn't score the ball, just like regular season Iguodala. He was 2 of 5 from 3. They left him wide open. He canned a couple, but he does everything else. 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, a block. Only 6 points, but a plus minus of 21. I mean, you gotta love the starting of the Hamptons 5 in this matchup, and the first time ever that the Hamptons 5 has started, each one of them was above a 20 in the plus minus, with Draymond Green leading the way at a plus 28, despite the fact that he only scored 8 points. I mean, the man just does everything. Everything. 2 big blocks, including one, I believe, on Rondo, where he yelled, "Get that shit out!" Right? I mean, I just love Draymond so much. Draymond is the embodiment of everything that the Warriors needed back in the day. And now they have it. And it's just so heartwarming to me. Only 11 turnovers on the night for the Warriors. They have truly been taking care of the ball in this second round. 4 out of 5 games, notching fewer than 13 turnovers, completely negating one of their biggest problems in the regular season. That's one of 2 or 3 things that talking heads would harp on about the Warriors when they were talking about things they could do better. It's turnovers, it's rebounding, and it's a lack of size. And the reality is that the Warriors don't need size. They have length. They've been rebounding the ball extremely well. Got out-rebounded on Sunday 51-45, but forced the Pels into 19 turnovers to only 17 assists. Draymond Green, Kevin Durant, and Kevon Looney frustrated Anthony Davis into an 8 of 22 shooting night and 6 turnovers. Untimely turnovers. Davis was a minus 25 on the night, leading the way along with Drew Holiday, who had an all right game. But all right isn't going to cut it against the Warriors when they've got it going on the defensive end and on the offensive end, forcing the Pelicans into 36% shooting and 15% shooting from three while shooting 48% themselves, even though they didn't shoot the ball well from three. Kevin Durant was too much for them. And when you've got other players chipping in, and I say chipping in, you've got a 2-time MVP in Stephen Curry canning 4 of his 9 three-pointers and scoring 23 points, not doing much else. He seemed a step slow. Not sure it's anything to worry about, though. Still shot 8 of 17 from the field and was more of a decoy for most of the night. I mean, the defense keyed in on him so much that Kevin Durant was able to maneuver anywhere he wanted, and that's what Stephen Curry brings, even when he's not doing the other things he's known for, like assisting the ball and rebounding the ball. His gravity is real and it's unprecedented. Nobody has gravity like Stephen Curry. When this team is firing on all cylinders, I don't think that there's a team that can hang with them for 7 games. Win 4? It seems very unlikely. We'll get into whether or not the Pels can even win 2 in the next segment. So the Pels come back to Oracle, and they have to win at Oracle to get back to New Orleans for a Game 6 on Thursday. The Oracle Arena crowd is going to smell blood. They're going to be loud, and they're going to be unforgiving. The Pelicans are going to have tunnel vision. They can't let anything get under their skin. They can't let anything bother them. To come back from a 3-1 deficit, you have to be in a state of calm, not a state of desperation, because desperation is fear, and fear is not going to help them win this game. They're going to have to cut down on the turnovers, obviously, and get back to their assisting ways. Only 85.8 offensive rating for them in Game 4, and Rajon Rondo only had 6 assists on the night. They're not going to win with Rondo not distributing the ball. And same goes for Drew Holiday, who only had 3. They have been a dynamic duo at the guard position in dispatching the Portland Trailblazers with relative ease. But the Warriors' defense keyed in on the passing lanes, managing to snatch 11 balls from the Pels. Both the first and third quarters were decisive for the Warriors, and the Pels are going to have to play better to start the game. They're going to have to play better to start the half. You can't allow the Warriors to get out on you early, because then you're playing catch up, and playing catch up against the Warriors is not a healthy bet. I wouldn't be surprised if you see AD on Kevin Durant a lot more in this game, with Mirotic on Draymond, Drew Holiday taking Stephen Curry, Rajon Rondo on Klay Thompson, and Etuan Moore roving, leaving Andre open. And Andre's going to have to make shots. But I think that's the Pelicans' best chance to win, force a game 6, go back to New Orleans, is to put AD on Kevin Durant and see if he can't slow him down. But that is going to hurt them on the offensive end. Only 26 points for AD and 12 rebounds in this last game. And as I said earlier, 6 turnovers. He's going to be tired. He's playing 40 minutes a night. And these games are every other day right now, and he's going to have to also check Kevin Durant, win the game on the offensive end, and check Kevin Durant on defense. That is That's hard. He's going to have to dig deep. That's the most important thing for the Pelicans, is for Anthony Davis to dig deep. Secondly, Rajon Rondo and Jrue Holiday have to play better. And even Ian Clark, who played 24 and a half minutes, he only shot 4 of 14 from the field and 0 of 7 from 3. The Warriors did a fantastic job of running the Pelicans off the three-point line. Ian Clark is the prime example. I'm surprised we didn't see more minutes from Solomon Hill, only 12 and a half minutes in this game, and some of that came in garbage time. He's had some good playoff games this year. I thought that he came in and affected the game in game 3, which the Pelicans won, and you know, he only played 14 minutes in that game, but coaches have to make adjustments, and there's going to have to be some serious adjustments from Alvin Gentry. And knowing that his bench is so thin, he's already playing from behind with the Warriors' bench going gaga in this last game. And lastly, Nikola Mirotic has to bring the energy that he was bringing earlier. I don't know if he needs to bring the beard back or if his stubble is just, you know, he's got to be clean shaven or whatever. But offensively, he was just not good. He's got to be a scorer. And Jrue Holiday has to be a scorer, 19 points, but only 7 points from Nikola Mirotic in the last game. And that's because he didn't really attempt three-pointers, and the two that he did attempt, he did not make. I think more than 7 shots for Nico in this next game is something you'll see. Maybe fewer than 10 shots for Rajon Rondo, who was 2 of 10 on the night, including the block that I mentioned from Draymond Green. Draymond had been waiting for that. He really had. Because Rondo hadn't gotten under his skin, but he was like kind of an annoyance, you know? It's just like, you're so annoying, man. Like, why are you up in my grill right now? Let me just block you and yell at you, because that's going to make me feel really good. And I'm sure it made Draymond feel really, really good. I thought Etwan Moore was good. He's going to have to bring the same intensity, because he was not a game changer. Obviously, no game changers in a game where you lose by 26 points. He did check Andre Iguodala a lot, so he was able to rest on defense a little bit. And, well, I mean, not really rest. You know, he's playing the passing lanes. He's helping to double and do other things that he needs to do, be in the right place at the right time. But it's a lot easier to do that than it is to check one person running around, you know, making sure that you switch when you're supposed to switch, not switch when you're not supposed to switch. It just leaves more room to work offensively and just more time to breathe. The Pelicans definitely have their work cut out for them if they're going to take this back to New Orleans. I will be in New Orleans if the game goes to a game 6. And I'll let you know about the experience I have. I haven't decided if I'm going to spring to actually go, or if I'm just going to sit at a bar and take in the French Quarter and see how Pelicans fans support their team outside of the arena during the playoffs. Should be really interesting. But like I said, the Pels have their work cut out for them tonight. And I'm really not expecting to be going to any festivities on Thursday, honestly. Stay tuned for a trip around the NBA. Gotta start with LeBron James, because LeBron James is doing things that we have never seen before. In his 15th season, he's added a deadly high-arcing turnaround jumper into his repertoire. There was one that he made that was constantly on loop on ESPN. He was almost behind the backboard. It was a travel, I will say. He dragged his right foot. But the shot that he made came over the backboard and swished. It's not just skill that allows you to do that. It's not like, I mean, practice is definitely a big part of it, but LeBron might have been created to play the sport of basketball. Just like, I mean, his game isn't always beautiful, and the shot isn't as smooth as Kevin Durant's shot, certainly not as Stephen Curry's or Klay Thompson's. His elbow sticks out, but it goes in. It goes in so often. And to add that in your 15th season, to be able to see the trajectory of the ball before you shoot it, because you have a split second to look at the basket when you turn around, though he creates so much space when he does his turnaround jumper. So he's flying backwards, squaring up to the basket at the same time. He gets a glimpse at the basket and then a flick of the wrist, high arcing so that he can get it above the defense and so that it has the best chance of going into the basket. And the accuracy with which he is making this shot, like some of them are just crisp, beautiful sounding swishes. Most of them are. It's not lucky. You look at LeBron James and you say, oh, he's not a shooter. He is a shooter. He just goes through lulls. He just goes through lulls where he clearly hasn't been practicing, where he, you know, relies on his assisting ability or his ability to get on the get to the basket, and his shooting kind of suffers. But LeBron is a shooter. He's a scorer, and he is everything. He's LeBron. And that is about as much time as I'm going to spend on LeBron James, because I know I talk about him so much, you all probably are a little annoyed at how much I do, but when you're talking about greatness, it's just so exciting to me to just be able to watch this, to even be a small part of this trajectory, this journey that LeBron has taken us on. The Toronto Raptors have taken us on a journey as well, a sad journey, if you care about the Toronto Raptors. That's a tough one, because the Raptors don't particularly entertain me. I'm not particularly entertained by them. I think that DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry are good players. I was talking to friends recently, and they said, you know, they just don't have fire. And my friends might be right. Like, the difference between making the conference finals and not making the conference finals sometimes comes down to who wants it more. And LeBron and Kevin Love and even guys like J.R. Smith, Kyle Korver, and George Hill just wanted it more. The Houston Rockets have a chance to close out the Jazz tonight. Should be a good one. 5 p.m. Pacific. I don't really have much to say about that series. I wish that the Jazz were able to be full strength Ricky Rubio and not out there for the Jazz. And, you know, Donovan Mitchell may have hit a wall. But the Rockets are the clearly better team, and not surprised that they lead 3-1 with a chance to close out the Jazz at home. And lastly, the Celtics and the 76ers have provided all the entertainment, especially Joel Embiid, who got in Terry Rozier's face, and also jawed with Marcus Morris, who just put up 3-0 in his face, in Embiid's face, didn't say a word. Didn't say a word. That is how you handle business when somebody who's losing comes at you like that. You know, like that. It's if somebody did that to me, I'd be so annoyed. It would get under my skin so hard. I shouldn't be giving away my weaknesses on the hardwood, but you know, I think Marcus had like exactly the right mentality in that moment. Just get out of my face. We're up 3-0. We're up 3-0. I don't know what you want. You know, what? Like, I don't know what you have to say. Just come win a game. And they did. The 76ers won, and they're pushing it to a game 5 in Boston. Should be fun. I mean, obviously, up 3-1, the series is basically over anyway. No team has ever come back from a 3-0 lead, in 3-0 deficit in the NBA. And I don't think that the Celtics will be the first team to allow that to happen to them. Back to the Dubs and the Rockets. Both teams have a chance to close out their series tonight and then a little bit of rest before the Western Conference Finals open up in Houston. That's going to be weird. That's definitely going to be weird, the series opening up in Houston. But I think that the Warriors have a good chance of going in with the way they're playing right now, offensively and defensively, and Stephen Curry still hasn't reached his human torch mode yet. Anthony Davis is a big test for the Warriors. How do they handle a superstar that does everything for their team? The backcourt in Houston is going to be an even bigger test. And the Warriors are going to have to come with it, especially rebounding the ball and defense in transition. They have a tough time sometimes against the Rockets in transition, and they're going to have to make sure that they get back. Tonight, can we expect them to play the Hamptons 5? I don't think after the win there that you see an adjustment from Steve Kerr. Like, why would he change things after he got that very convincing win by starting Andre, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Steph, and Draymond? So my prediction is that he sticks with the Hamptons 5, but obviously, as I've said in the past, predictions mean nothing with Steve Kerr. That's about as much time as we have today. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be recapping the game. Hopefully, it's a dub for the dubs. Stay thoughtful, Hoopsheads.